Priya has a diagnosed heart condition that causes sudden fainting spells, and her physician has warned her in writing never to drive. One afternoon, she drives to the store anyway. Midway through the trip, she faints at the wheel. Her car veers onto the sidewalk, and it kills a pedestrian. She is charged with reckless homicide. Her lawyer says the crash happened while she was unconscious. No willed movement, no crime. Is that right? No. And the reason is the toolkit this whole subject leans on. Almost every crime is built from two pieces: a bad act, the actus reus, and a guilty mind, the mens rea. The prosecution must prove both, and it has to attach the right state of mind to the right part of the act. Five stops. First, what counts as an act, including doing nothing at all? Second, the two vocabularies of the guilty mind, the common law buckets and the model penal code levels. Third, when a mistake excuses. Fourth, which court can hear the case. And fifth, who has to prove what, and how sure they must be. The actus reus is the physical, outside-the-body part of a crime. The law only punishes conduct a person could control, so the act must be voluntary. A willed muscular movement, something the actor chose to do. We do not punish people for the involuntary misfires of their own bodies. So what is not a voluntary act? A reflex or a convulsion. A movement while unconscious or asleep, including sleepwalking. Conduct during a seizure. Movements under hypnosis. And anything that is not a product of the actor's own effort or determination. The Model Penal Code sets this out at Section 2.01. A man has his first ever seizure in a grocery store, with no warning and no diagnosis. His arm swings out and fractures a stranger's hip. Battery? No, no voluntary act. But here is the trap, and it is Priya's problem. You need only one voluntary act somewhere in the chain of events. The whole sequence does not have to be voluntary from start to finish. So courts look backward. The crash was not willed. The decision to drive knowing she might black out was. That earlier voluntary act supplies the actus reus. When a fact pattern hands you an involuntary moment, scan the timeline for the voluntary choice that set it up. Now, the other kind of act, doing nothing. Normally, a failure to act is not a crime, and the law does not force you to be a good Samaritan. But an omission becomes the actus reus when three things line up: a legal duty to act, physical ability to perform it, and knowledge of the facts that triggered the duty. Five sources of that legal duty. Statute, where a law commands the act. Status relationship, like parent to child. Contract, where you were hired to protect or care for someone. Voluntary assumption of care, where you started helping, secluded the person, then abandoned them. And creation of the peril, where you put the victim in danger yourself. A parent watches a toddler wander into a backyard pool and drown, doing nothing, though a simple reach would have saved the child. Criminal omission. Now, a jogger passing the fence watches the same thing and keeps running. Morally awful. No duty, no crime. Possession is odd, because holding something is a state, not a movement. So the law treats it as an act only when it is knowing. You possess contraband when you knowingly obtained it, or knew you controlled it and had time to get rid of it. Control can be actual, in your pocket, or constructive, in your locked glove box. Someone secretly slips a package into your backpack as he sprints past. You have not committed a voluntary act of possession until you become aware and fail to end it. On to the guilty mind. You need two vocabularies because both show up in provided statutes. The older common law system sorts crimes into buckets: specific intent, general intent, malice, strict liability. The modern model penal code replaces those buckets with four precisely defined levels. Start with the buckets, because the label decides which defenses a defendant can raise. A specific intent crime requires intent to do the act, plus a further special objective written into the definition. Taking property, intending to permanently deprive the owner. Breaking in, intending to commit a felony inside. A general intent crime requires only the intent to do the wrongful act itself. This label is not busy work. Two defenses work only against specific intent crimes: voluntary intoxication and an honest but unreasonable mistake of fact. So the first question in many fact patterns is simply this: is it a specific intent crime? Two more buckets. Malice means reckless disregard of an obvious high risk of harm, and it covers common law murder and arson. Strict liability requires no mental state as to at least one element. Statutory rape, selling alcohol to a minor, many regulatory offenses. Mistake of fact is never a defense there. Two quick distinctions before we move on. Do not confuse motive with intent. Intent is the decision to do the act. Motive is the reason behind it: greed, jealousy, even mercy. A good motive does not excuse a crime, and transferred intent. Aim at one person, hit another, and the intent transfers to the victim you actually hit. Homicide, battery, and arson, not attempt. Now, the modern ladder, and this is what NextGen is most likely to hand you. Four words, most blameworthy to least: purposely, knowingly, recklessly, negligently. Purposely means it is your conscious object to cause the result. You want it to happen. Knowingly means you are practically certain your conduct will cause it, or that you are aware of the circumstance. You need not want it. Plant a bomb on a plane for the insurance money, certain everyone aboard will die, and you have killed them knowingly. Then the single most tested boundary in this topic. Recklessly means you consciously disregard a substantial, unjustifiable risk, a gross deviation from a law-abiding person. Negligently means you should have been aware of that risk. Recklessness is subjective. You saw the risk and ignored it. Negligence is objective. You did not notice, but a reasonable person would have. Same careless act, very different mental state, and often the line between manslaughter and negligent homicide. So, which is Priya? Her doctor warned her in writing. She knew. That is conscious disregard, and that is why the charge reads reckless homicide. Three rules from section 2.02 of the code win most questions. First, the default. If the statute names no mental state, read in at least recklessness. Do not assume strict liability. True strict liability is rare and must be clear. Second, higher satisfies lower. Proof of a higher level satisfies any requirement of a lower one. Smash a mailbox purposely, and you have necessarily damaged it recklessly. Third, one stated mental state usually travels across the whole sentence, attaching to every element that separates innocent conduct from criminal conduct. One carve-out. A purely jurisdictional fact, the hook that merely gives the government power to prosecute, say that a firearm once crossed state lines. The mental state word does not attach to it, and the defendant need not know it. Here is the skill in miniature. Franklin Criminal Code Section 12-3 punishes anyone who recklessly engages in conduct creating a substantial risk of serious bodily injury. Dana speeds through a school zone at 70 miles per hour, weaving between children, thinking she is a great driver and nothing will happen. Guilty? Yes. Her confidence does not erase her awareness of the danger. Now swap one word. If the statute said negligently, you would instead ask whether a reasonable person would have perceived the risk. a different objective question. The verb controls the whole analysis. Mistake next, and one question decides it. Does the mistake cancel out the mental state the crime requires? Ask it this way. If the facts were as the defendant honestly believed them, would they still have the guilty mind the statute demands? The answer changes with the bucket. Specific intent, any honest mistake works, even an unreasonable one. General intent or malice, the mistake must be both honest and reasonable. Strict liability, mistake of fact is never a defense. A sincere, reasonable belief that a partner was of age is no defense to statutory rape. Mistake of law is blunter. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But three narrow exceptions are heavily tested. The mistake negates a specific intent or knowledge element the crime itself requires. Reasonable reliance on an official statement of the law later held wrong. Or, the law was never published or made reasonably available. Not exceptions. Relying on your own reading of the law or on your private attorney's advice. And the classic trap is mislabeling. Take a bike you honestly think is yours, and that is mistake of fact defeating larceny. Take a bike you know is another's, believing the law lets you keep it as payment, and that is mistake of law, no defense. Jurisdiction, briefly. A state's power to prosecute follows territory. A state may try a crime if either the conduct or its result occurred inside its borders. Fire a shot from Franklin that kills a victim across the line in Colombia, and both states have a claim. The federal government has no general police power. So, a federal crime needs a constitutional hook. Federal land, a federal victim or officer, or activity Congress can reach through interstate commerce. And because a state and the federal government are separate sovereigns, both may prosecute the same act without violating the Double Jeopardy Clause. That is, dual sovereignty, reaffirmed as recently as 2019. Last, burdens, and this subtopic carries a star on the NCBE outline. That means it can be tested with no provided law, so know it cold. The defendant is presumed innocent. Due process requires the prosecution to prove every element beyond a reasonable doubt. Leave one element in reasonable doubt, and the defendant must be acquitted. Learn the ladder from lowest to highest. Reasonable suspicion. Specific, articulable facts. Enough for a brief stop. Probable cause. A fair probability. Needed to arrest or get a warrant. Preponderance of the evidence. More likely than not, just over 50%. Clear and convincing evidence. Highly probable. And beyond a reasonable doubt, near certainty, for every element. Hidden inside burden of proof are two different jobs. The burden of production is putting enough evidence on the table to make an issue live. The burden of persuasion is actually convincing the fact finder. The prosecution always bears both on the elements of the crime. For an affirmative defense, a state may constitutionally put the burden of persuasion on the defendant, usually by a preponderance, because such a defense does not negate an element. What a state may not do is relabel an element as a defense, or tell the jury to presume intent. A mandatory presumption on an element is unconstitutional. A permissive inference is fine. A word on authorities. Because this episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. NextGen usually hands you the statute itself and asks you to apply it. So the skill is reading a mental state verb carefully, not reciting case names. Nobody is going to ask you for one. If you keep only three, keep these. Section 2.01, because it tells you what counts as an act at all. Section 2.02, because it's three rules, the default, higher satisfies lower, and one verb travels, decide most statute reading questions. And the burdens ladder, because that subtopic is starred and comes with no provided law. Now the traps the examiners set. 1. Confusing recklessness with negligence. Recklessness is subjective. The defendant actually saw the risk. Negligence is objective. A reasonable person would have. 2. Forgetting the default. A statute silent on mental state usually requires recklessness, not strict liability. 3. Assuming a single mental state word governs only the first element. It pushes across every material element, but never onto the jurisdictional hook. 4. Treating every mistake of fact as a defense. It defeats a specific intent crime, even if unreasonable, must be reasonable for a general intent crime, and is no defense at all to strict liability. 5. Mixing up mistake of fact with mistake of law. The second is almost never a defense. 6. Thinking a good motive excuses a crime. It does not. 7. And it is the one that costs points. Flipping the burden. The state must disprove an affirmative defense only after the defendant produces some evidence of it, and it may never shift an element onto the defendant. Time for the quick check, and this one comes straight from the Bargo question bank. A larceny statute requires taking the property of another with intent to permanently deprive the owner of it. Leaving a crowded coat check, Simone grabs a wool coat she is convinced is hers, same brand, same color. It belongs to another guest. A more careful person would have checked the pockets or the size. Her mistake was honest but careless. Is that honest but unreasonable mistake a defense to larceny? Option 1. No, because her carelessness makes the mistake unreasonable. Option 2. Yes, because any honest mistake negating the specific intent excuses. Option 3. Yes, but only because her mistake was also objectively reasonable. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Larceny is a specific intent crime, and for specific intent offenses, any honest mistake of fact that negates the special intent is a defense, even an unreasonable, careless one. Simone genuinely believed the coat was hers, so she lacked the intent to permanently deprive another of property. Option 1 applies the general intent standard to a specific intent crime. Her carelessness would matter for battery, not here. Option 3 adds a reasonableness requirement larceny does not have, and it fails on the facts anyway. Reasonableness is required for general intent crimes, not this one. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. A crime needs a voluntary act, but only one, somewhere in the chain. Look backward for the choice that set the involuntary moment up. 2. An omission counts only where a legal duty existed, the defendant could act, and knew the triggering facts. 3. Recklessness is subjective and negligence is objective, and that line separates manslaughter from negligent homicide. A silent statute means recklessness, higher culpability satisfies lower, and one mental state word travels across every material element but the jurisdictional hook. 4. A mistake of fact helps only if it cancels the required mental state. How easily it does that depends on whether the crime is specific intent, general intent, or strict liability. Mistake of law almost never helps. 5. The prosecution proves every element beyond a reasonable doubt, and no presumption may shift an element onto the defendant. Ever. Which brings us back to Priya, who never chose the moment her car left the road. She chose the moment she turned the key, knowing what her doctor had told her. Act and mind. That is the whole toolkit. Next time, defenses. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.